Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the July 21st, 2025 council meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Hanson?
Here.
Mr. Payne?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mr. Richardson is absent. Ms. Stowe is also absent, and Mrs. Westfall.
Here.
Mr. Richardson and Ms. Stowe are excused. Have five members of city council are in attendance, therefore quorum does exist, and we'll go to the pledge of allegiance this evening, led by Mr. McCann.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Moving on to the meeting minutes for the meeting of June 16, 2000. Pardon?
Additions.
Oh, sorry, sorry. I keep wanting to move down the list. Are there any additions to the agenda for this evening? Mrs. Westfall.
Mr. Mayor, we did have the zoning committee met, and I'll be talking about that at item number six. And I do think that we want to have the legislation read at that. I mean, it talks about report on the zoning committee. I just want you to know that you can have legislation read at that time as well.
So should we call it 5A legislation?
It's in there.
It's already on the.
Regarding proposed ordinance, but I just want to be sure.
Okay. Mr. Hayden, did you have a question or comment?
Nope, thank you.
Mrs. Westfall, anything else?
No, definitely.
Any members of council? Hearing none. Chief Miller? Anything?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Shaw?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Ryan?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. May I have a motion to accept the agenda as submitted?
So moved.
Second. Motion and a second to accept the agenda for the meeting of July 21st, 2025 as submitted. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Now, moving on to approval of council meeting minutes from the meeting of June 16th, 2025. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the city council, Sylvania City Council meeting minutes for the meeting held June 16th, 2025 as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the city council meeting for the meeting of June 16th, 2025 as submitted. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Moving on, we have, Mrs. Westfall, we have the report and the proposed ordinance 56-2025 for regarding the public hearing this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we did have a public hearing at 7:15. The topic was proposed ordinance number 56-2025, non-conforming signs. There was nobody here to speak on this issue. We did introduce the issue so people would understand that this is a legislation that's focused on moving the date back from January 1st, 2026 to January 1st, 2028 with regard to signs and making sure that the US 23 bridge project is or any of our local businesses are required to meet the conforming signs for the legislation proposed. Mr. Hanum moved and Mr. Hanson seconded that we advance legislation this evening, and we are prepared to do so.
Thank you. Any questions or on the report from Mrs. Westfall? Hearing none, we have ordinance 56-2025 for consideration. Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 56-2025. I'll read by title only, amending chapter 1166 of the Sylvania Codified Ordinances by amending section 1166, non-conforming signs. And I move adoption of ordinance number 56-2025 as an emergency.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve ordinance number 56-2025. As an emergency measure, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Moving on to agenda item six, which is the report from the zoning committee held, what was it, June 23rd, 2025 at 5:30 p.m. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we did have a Annexation and Zoning Committee meeting on June 23rd, 2025 on proposed ordinance 63-2025, nuisance abatement. Mr. Hanem was excused from that meeting. The other committee members present, Marcus Hansen, myself, and Lindsay Stow. Also, other council members were present, Sean Murphy and Brian McCann. Also, Mayor Fry was present, Law Director Mrs. Brining, Service Director Mr. Shaw, Mr. Burns, Mr. Barnes, and community guest Mr. Mike Durback. So this Annexation and Zoning Committee was focused on really a pretty significant revision of the nuisance abatement ordinance, and the administration was grateful for their leadership and putting together a variety of changes that were able to be reviewed. The things that were kind of identified as needing further consideration were the committee felt that it was not necessary to require that the nuisance abatement board members be from different geographic areas of the state. Rather, if they were qualified, that we would just be happy to have their commitment and their service. The committee felt that the law director or the law director's representative should serve on the committee to ensure that any legal issues that surface have the professional expertise needed for an appropriate resolution. And then the Board of Zoning Appeals was, it was determined, would be an appropriate group to manage these issues as the nuisance, serving a double duty, also serving as nuisance abatement board. Currently, that group is a similar makeup. An administration did reach out to them. I understand they have a meeting actually tomorrow night, and I understand that group is pretty interested in having some additional responsibilities. There was some discussion around 1329.01, item D, how many vehicles should be present and allowed in the driveway, and it became a rather complicated discussion, so the law director did offer to think about that and put together the wording, and I think maybe it would be helpful for you to share a little bit about your thoughts there with the group, if you're comfortable, Mrs. Bryan.
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. I did some additional research on what the what the definition of accumulation was. I know that made us uncomfortable because there's not, you can't say that you have under three. Accumulation just is the definition and the standard that was established at the common law. So we'll just, the process will be if there's, and this is public record, Acres Road, there's a house that has a lot of wood and stores a lot of wood, firewood outside. That is an accumulation. And there's, you can't really define it, but like other Supreme Court decisions, you know it when you see it. So that will just be up to Tim. We'll rely on Tim's expertise, his judgment, and his photographs. So, and it'll be up to him and then us to educate the nuisance abatement board. And they may say, hey, this, it doesn't meet what we consider an accumulation, but that is the standard. That's what all the other communities that I looked at, the ones that hadn't been challenged successfully, just kept it a little bit vague. So I know it is a little bit uncomfortable not to have, not to be able to tell residents that you can have four cars and not five, but I think that gives the city leeway to help determine is the property meeting the characteristics of the neighborhood, or is there an issue that needs to be addressed?
So that was one of the most critical things. I just thought, while I'm in the midst of the meetings, rather than jumping back and forth, it would be helpful for the group to hear that feedback. So again, the goal of this meeting and of the legislation changes was really to put some more substance in place to address the nuisance issues that we are occasionally seeing, giving the zoning administrator more, a little bit more teeth, and to encourage maximum compliance from community members. So with that, the administration went forward and put together some additional legislation. Also, one more thing, though, before I wrap up the committee meeting minutes. We did have a community citizen attend. This particular individual has come to previous meetings and came because he has a particular concern in his neighborhood. We did let him speak to that issue, and we shared that once the new ordinance is approved, the zoning administrator would take action so that to speak with the property owner and try and get that issue resolved. With no other business coming before the committee, Mr. Hansen moved to adjourn, Ms. Stow seconded, and the motion passed at 6:40. So are there any questions on that or anything that wasn't clear? Okay. With that, Mr. Mayor, there is legislation in the packet this evening, ordinance 63-2025, that is prepared to...
So, Ms. Browning, you know, we're comfortable with the language on the administrative level. What is council's will? Would you like to take this back to committee for additional consideration, or are you prepared to consider it this evening?
Yeah. I don't need another tire, so...
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. The only thing I would add is that this is something we can always amend to also as we run into situations where we need to fine-tune those details. We can always come back and...
Absolutely.
Add to it. I guess my comment on this is, having been in a few of these over the years, this legislation would have been very helpful to get quicker and better resolutions than we've been able to get over the years.
Yeah.
And probably shouldn't have waited 22 years to amend this.
Yeah. We certainly appreciate Ms. Browning and Mr. Burns, Mr. Shaw working on this, and on behalf of the administrative staff, putting this together, and obviously the input from council in regards to their concerns and thoughts and ideas. So with those comments, we have ordinance number 63-2025 for consideration. Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 63-2025. I will read by title only. Amending Part 13, Building Code of the Codified Ordinances of Sylvania, 1979, as amended, by amending Chapter 1329, Nuisance Abatement, and I move adoption of Ordinance Number 63-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve Ordinance Number 63-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. And Ordinance 63-2025 is approved as an emergency measure. Moving on to item number 74-2025. Ms. Bryant.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think there have been some questions about this piece of legislation. The chief suggested these changes be made to provide for a little bit more streamlined process and to give an exemption for charitable organizations to be able to just register, but also makes it a little bit more official if people are going to people's doors and asking a little bit more comprehensive. So the chief and the safety director have both recommended the passage of this, and I do as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title on the ordinance number 74-2025, amending Part 7, Business Regulations, Code of the Codified Ordinances of Sylvania, 1979, as amended by amending Chapter 735, Canvassers and Solicitors. I move for passage of ordinance number 74-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance 74-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. And ordinance 74-2025 is approved as an emergency measure. Moving on to agenda item number 8, Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, members of council. Agenda item 8 deals with our water tank storage maintenance. We had some Ohio EPA-related items at all three of our locations to address based on an inspection that was done by Dixon Engineering in 2024. So we had budgeted some work to be done on those tanks. Dixon has helped us and actually worked to secure bids for that. We didn't publicly do that here. He was able to do that under the Ohio Advice threshold for publicly advertising projects. So he solicited some quotes. Our lowest one was from LC United Painting Company in the amount of $48,000. The other two bids that we received are listed in that letter.
both significantly higher than, you know, the other ones that are listed there.
Dixon has, they only reached out to pre-qualified contractors that
are able to work on tanks and that they feel comfortable with, so we're comfortable that LC United is good to do these recommended changes.
This is the last improvement out of the water account this year that was budgeted. We're slightly over, about $15,000 if this is accepted. I think I'm comfortable with where our account sits in the 701 account to be able to move forward with this, even though slightly out of budget. So I would recommend we move forward with LC United Painting Company in the amount of $48,000 to accomplish this scope of work. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for members of council?
Mr. Shaw, you make it very clear that Dixon has worked with LC United Painting. Have they ever done any work in Sylvania before?
Not under my time. We built one tank since I've been here, and we've done a complete paint around on all of the tanks. They were not either one of those contractors.
Did those contractors reach out and apply as well?
I believe one of them was one of the requested contractors.
Thank you.
Other questions from Mr. Shaw regarding?
Did Dixon mention why these guys are so much less expensive? Is it just they have better equipment, or?
These guys are busy from the get-go. Like, their calendars get full about March, so for them to come in and do $48,000 of work is kind of more of a pain for them than anything else. So I think the other two contractors really thought it was a pain. So that's my guess. Yeah, if we get it, cool. If we don't.
Other questions for Mr. Shaw?
Thank you.
Hearing none, we have ordinance 75-2025 for consideration. Mr. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 75-2025, accepting the proposal of LC United Painting Company to provide metal repairs and upgrades to the city's water storage tanks, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $48,000. I move for passage of ordinance number 75-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance 75-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried, and ordinance 75-2025 is approved as an emergency measure. Thank you very much. Moving on to agenda item number 9, sanitary sewer connection. Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's weird that we have so many of these on one agenda. We usually have meant 12 years. I don't know if we've done one. It's been a while, but we have two that followed up back to back. But and both are a little bit different from each other. So this particular one on Monroe Street, very northwest corner of Whiteford and Monroe, been an S&G gas station for at least my time here, been vacant for maybe a year or two. They want to rent the building out to Hungry Howie's Pizza. They have operated on a septic system for many, many years, as long as we've known about it. They are connected to our water system. They connected in 1995 in order to flip pizzas. I think they were thinking about generating more waste than a gas station would, so the desire to want to connect to a nearby sanitary sewer system presented itself. So just so you know the lay of the land, they are outside of the city limits. They are also outside of our sanitary sewer service area. But we are still the closest entity that can provide them with sanitary sewer service. So they reached out to us initially in order for me to allow that type of connection to occur. I need to get a permission from the adjacent sanitary sewer district, which in this case is the Lucas County Sanitary Engineer. Asked for their blessings if it was okay. They reviewed their systems. Yes, this makes the most sense. Got an approval from them with the letter that's in your packet. So all moving forward, about 150 feet away from their property is a connection point that they can do. The agreement allows for that accommodation tap. A couple additional things that go on with that. If and when a sanitary sewer is ever extended along either Whiteford or Monroe in front of their property, they would disconnect from this accommodation tap, agree to pay the assessed benefit cost for their portion of the sewer project, and then reconnect to that line. So pretty common. Back in the 90s, we did a gazillion of these that were just like that. But this is an accommodation to allow them to make the connection to do what it is they need to do, but still puts them on the hook should a sewer be extended. They're required to pay their cost for that.
Questions So that accommodation, that extension would probably be from Lucas County, correct?
Most likely. I don't see us doing much unless there's a low-pressure service system that somehow we do in that area. Whiteford is the high point in about everything we do. It's the high point in our water system, and it's the high point in our sanitary. And it kind of goes east and west from both directions there. So they really are at the top of the hill. It's a really difficult area to provide those types of services to. Water would be easy because it's pressurized. Sanitary becomes a little troublesome, so.
My initial reaction was, how do you have a septic system right there on the corner of Main, what effectively is Main and Main almost? I was surprised that there was still one there.
Sure.
So. Any questions for Mr. Shaw regarding this? Hearing none, we have ordinance 76-2025 for consideration. Mr. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 76-2025, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into a sanitary sewer connection agreement via accommodation TAP with S&G Real Estate LLC. I move for passage of ordinance number 76-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance 76-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. And ordinance 76-2025 is approved as an emergency measure. Moving on to agenda item number 10, Mr. Shaw.
Okay, our second sanitary sewer connection agreement of
tonight. This one is 5350 Silvertown. If you recall, this project actually will be getting started later this week or early next week with a waterline installation that goes all the way from Monroe to Alexis.
In the process of kind of finalizing some billing and looking at some different things that were going on with this particular property, we found out that they were not connected to the sanitary sewer system. One had been available since late 1970, I think 79 is when the sanitary sewer plans in Silvertown were constructed or when built. Long story short, they were not connected. That's a Toledo Lucas County Health Department as well as a revised code thing. If you have a publicly available sanitary sewer system, you shall, I think is the word that's used, connect. So it's a pretty strong language for that. We worked with Mrs. Nicole Urbanski, notified her of that. We also notified the health department, which they do, what's in your letter there. They send a notice to connect letter, which is kind of your official on-the-clock notice that within a year, you have to connect to the sewer system. The cost to connect was something she could not do on her own, so she reached out to us for some options, and we have done these types of agreements in the past where the city will pay for the cost of the connection to that and then recover those costs over a certain term or a period of time to help them with that. So in your packet is quite a bit of information there, but it does show the cost, which is the Ohio excavating cost to do that. We did shop around for a couple of different quotes. Being that they're right on site doing a waterline project, hey, that's pretty good. We might be able to shave a few bucks off of the install. So they provided the sanitary tap cost for that. Schedule D or Exhibit D shows the complete breakdown from the construction cost to the permitting fees in order to record it. And then we end up with a total cost of install of $9,316.02. The amortization schedule is in your packet, so Mr. Bansky will be billed, read it correctly, $169.52 in addition per month for a 5-year term.
And Mr. Shaw, if Ms. Urbanski sells the property, the liability, the future liability goes to the next homeowner, correct?
It automatically goes to a lien on the property and then transfer or property sale. That's when those funds would become fully due to us.
So we would get the full amount remaining?
Correct.
Okay. So it doesn't go to, so Ms. Urbanski sells to Mr. Smith.
Right.
Mr. Smith's not on the hook.
Absolutely right.
Any other questions for Mr. Shaw?
Mr. Mayor, more of a financial question. How is the interest rate determined?
Mm-hmm. Anytime we have these agreements, I look to the Ohio Water Development Authority website. When we do sanitary sewer improvements that we can't afford fully in cost, we get financing through them. They publish rates monthly on their website for all different kinds of improvement projects. This one was specifically for a sanitary sewer. It would have been like a 20-year interest rate. If I was going to go get money from them, I would pay that interest rate that was quoted in the letter.
Other questions for Mr. Shaw? Hearing none, we have ordinance 77-2025 for consideration. Mr. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only, ordinance number 77-2025, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an installment payment agreement for the sanitary sewer tap fees, connection fee, and service line for the property located at 5350 Silvertown Drive, Sylvania, Ohio. I move for passage of ordinance number 77-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance 77-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Moving on to agenda item number 11, we have ODOT Erie and Roundabout application. Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is in regards to our Erie Street and Monroe Roundabout project that we are about halfway through design, probably more than halfway, maybe closer to 60 or 70% through our design. ODOT always gives to us what's called an ODOT-led local public agency agreement. Anytime you take federal funds that they help administer all those, all the different things, including right-of-way acquisition, how construction works, how design engineering works, who's responsible for what, all of those things go into a kind of a package, 16-page LK agreement. We've done several of these with all of our ODOT projects that help us with funding. This is our standard agreement for this particular one. ODOT has asked us to have this in place prior to starting our right-of-way acquisition phase on the project, which we anticipate getting started probably in September or October of this year. So this is step one to get us ready for right-of-way acquisition phase on the project. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Mr. Shaw.
Mr. Shaw, could you just refresh my memory on the timeline on the OTI roundabout? When we anticipate, I'm going to start with the readiness piece in September 25, but when do we think construction will officially begin?
Construction is scheduled for 2027. The big thing of when in 27 that we're still working through is the golf tournament future. We have a lot to just kind of work through to see what is the best fit in 27 to handle that. So
there is no tournament in 27.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the U.S. Women's Open is in Inverness and we can't have two tournaments.
Okay. That's good to know.
Just FYI. It's important. You all probably recall, but for the public record, this project isn't just about the Bowtie Roundabout. It also moves and reconstructs all of Erie the whole way to Centennial. Is that correct?
It surfaces the entire thing from Centennial to Monroe. Right. Correct. And handles Old Post Road. I should add that in. I want to forget that. We're doing some modifications to where that pulls into to Monroe Street as well. But if that's the case, we would love to do that after school lets out, run it June, July, have it opened in the last part of July and not impact schools. That would be the goal. About a 60-day closure to do this project.
Thank you. So, more notifications from our neighbors. Any other questions for Mr. Shaw? Hearing none, we have ordinance 78-2025 for consideration. Mr. Murphy, let's go to you.
Hey, strange person isn't here today, so. Hi, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce by title only, ordinance number 78-2025, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with the state of Ohio Department of Transportation on behalf of the city of Sylvania for the Monroe Erie Roundabout Project. Declare this an emergency measure and ask to pass ordinance number 78-2025.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance 78-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Ordinance 78-2025 is approved as an emergency measure. Moving on to agenda item number 12. You need a chair, Mr. Shaw. You've been there for a while. Yeah, there we go.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Plumber pool bathhouse renovations. Obviously, our pool has been open. We're having a fantastic pool season over there. So we have one change order that we want to take care of now. We probably will be back, I would say September, October, with a final for the project. But this captures the bulk of, I would say, maybe from just getting started on the project to project completion, a lot of the changes that were necessary on the project. As you can see, very minor things, you know, that dealt with GFIs and plumbing vents through roofs. So there's just an assembly of some very small items here that add up to $8,221.84. So that would increase our contract amount that we did from change order one from $409,382.24 to $417,604.08. For the most part, the project went really good. We've had some challenges to work through. One of the challenges that's still ongoing that we need to work through is flooring. We've had two conditions with flooring. One where the concrete was cut in the new floor. We saw some popping and some spalling on our new concrete surface. We've got a plan in place to address that. At the time of year that we poured the concrete, we were still getting a lot of temperature change in our soil, so it's not uncommon to see that when you cut into concrete floors like we did. We have a plan in place for that. We're still working on number two, which is a little bit of slippage with the surface that's there on the inside of the bathhouse. We had, after the first weekend that the bathhouse was open, we had an unfortunate lady slip and fall to your shoe. The floor is great. To code, it's great. The grit that's in the floor meets with standards that you would for, you know, that type of facility. But as soon as you put your foot to it, barefoot that is wet, it becomes very, very slick. So we're trying to work through some options to help us with that, especially in the high traffic foot areas. So we anticipate working, continue to work with our contractor to find a solution for that, implemented in the fall once the bath season is over with, and then have that kind of buttoned up here as a last measure towards the end of the year. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Shaw?
Mr. Shaw, is there a liability concern?
No. We bought temporary mats and put those in. That's done the trick from day one once those went in. We spent a couple $100 and put those in just to make the area secure. No liability. We just, you know, the contractor actually did everything he was supposed to do. He put in a floor per spec that meets ADA and grit requirements. It just doesn't work on a barefoot. So we just need to make sure we find a product that does work with a barefoot.
Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Shaw? Hearing none, we have ordinance 79 2025 for consideration. Mr. Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce by title only ordinance number 79-2025, authorize the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number two, receive the agreement with Van Castle Construction Corporation for the plumber pool bathhouse renovation project for additional work items required. Increase the contract amount by $8,221.84. I move for passage of ordinance number 79-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 79-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried, and ordinance 79-2025 is approved as an emergency measure. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item number 13, CMAQ funding for roundabout application. Mr. Shaw.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll point you all the way to the back of your packet. There's an informational item C that's back there. That was our letter that we had received from ODOT in their safety group. If you recall, we requested authorization to pursue Highway Safety Improvement Program grant funds through ODOT to do two roundabouts, one at Brenton, Maine, Holland, Sylvania, that location, and one to do one at Haroon Road in Holland, Sylvania. Went through that process. We were successfully able to get one of those fully funded that we asked for. That's the Brent, Maine, and Holland, Sylvania intersection where the VI is. Excellent, great. We did not get any funding or partial funding for the second one. The reason was cited in the letter. You can see this program gets flooded with great projects. You have to be very sharp and on your game. There's more need for safety projects than ever, so they get flooded with applications. Ours, just this particular one, the second one, wasn't good enough to make the cut for the top, you know, handful or whatever 20 projects that they funded with their program this year. So that kicks that one out, but we maybe, I would say, solid writing on the wall a couple months ago that we may need to double back in and look for additional funding opportunities, which is our CMAC program. TMACOG does a solicitation for this about every 2 years. We always kind of had it in the back of our mind if we were not successful with the Haroon and Holland, Sylvania location from a safety perspective. We could come back with CMAC and do it that way. And the timing of the programs and the solicitations works to our favor that allows us to do that. So basically the exact same project that you guys saw a couple months ago, this one with the CMAC program that's administered by TMACOG, they have about $14 million available for funding this year, which is excellent. That's about $5 million more than they usually have, which bodes well for us. So we would request to be able to submit our application to the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Program with TMACOG. Some of the numbers that are there, the total project is $3,767,360. And we're requesting $2,886,286, so about 76% of the project cost. If and when we are successful, we will pursue further help on our portion of it with Ohio Public Works Commission grant funds. The estimated cost that I would pursue at that time is listed there as well. So if all those funding mechanisms and pieces come together, you're estimating the city local portion cost would be $384,844. So a lot of numbers there, but basically the same thing that we had asked for. So requesting to submit our application to this program. Be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Shaw, have we applied for CMAC funding before, or has it been announced?
We have. We've been quite successful with the program. We funded Monroe Street and Silica with CMAC funds, that intersection. We were able to fund Flower Hospital's traffic signal with those funds. US 23 Monroe Interchange has CMAC funds, and Britton Haroon Roundabout has CMAC funds. So we're 4 for 4 so far on those.
Other questions for Mr. Shaw? So Mr. Shaw, timing wise, the one we were successful on for the federal safety funding, and then this project, assuming that we get the CMAC funding, what's the timing of construction for those two roundabouts?
The Brent and Maine and Holland, Sylvania one, that would be 2028. Brent and Haroon would be 2028. We would do those at the same construction season, but only one at a time. So you do one, have the other intersection open, and then close the other one. So those would both be 2028 projects. This one would be 2029, so we'd come back in another construction season and do the Haroon and Holland, Sylvania one. And then also, we've been successful at Maine and Convent. That was a previous TMACOG surface transportation block grant program that we got roundabout funding for. So there's four in that area. Remember that presentation I had from a few months ago where we showed potential locations? Those all four were potentials. And so far, we've gotten 3 of the 4 accomplished. This would be 4 of 4 if we're successful.
So we appreciate your efforts and administrative efforts for Eric as well, trying to put these funds together. And obviously, Mr. Hanson, you brought up some time ago, the educational process that Mr. Shaw kind of walked us through is important for us, but also important for the community to understand the benefits of these particular programs and the like. So we appreciate your efforts in that regard. Are there other questions for Mr. Shaw?
Mr. Mayor, I do have one. Mr. Shaw, and I'm sure we'll be successful in getting this funding, but in the event that we aren't, do we then look to fund the entire project, or do we not pursue the project?
I will always continue pursuing funding. That's too expensive of us to chop off on our own. I think to do that on our own would be tough. So just because the safety program told us no, I mean, they just told us no now. That doesn't mean it's no forever. They still feel it is a valuable project, just not compared to the other 24. I'll keep throwing it in there for sure. There's no reason I can't. And actually, this is the same thing, too. If I'm not successful in this particular round, let's say Toledo comes in and takes, you know, $8 million of the $14 available, and I get short-sighted, I'm going to probably come back and we'll get it. It's just a matter of when. I think because of the money that's available this round, I think we'll be okay. But, and I'm on the scoring and ranking committee, so I'll know pretty quick whether we are successful or not. So
we appreciate that one, too. Yeah. So thank you for that. Any other questions for Mr. Shaw? We have resolution 12, 2025 for consideration. Mr. Hingham.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of resolution number 12-2025, I'll read by title only. A resolution authorizing the mayor and director of finance to prepare and submit an application to participate in construction mitigation and air quality and carbon reduction grant programs managed by the Metropolitan Council and to execute contracts as required. I move adoption of resolution number 12-2025 as an emergency.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve resolution 12-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate your work on these things, Mr. Shaw. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to agenda item 14, there's a note here from a request for authorization of grant funding for ordinance 80-2025. Ms. Bragg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I kind of feel like Joe. I'm getting a grant. Well, hopefully. This all ties into the victim advocate position that we talked about last month at council. Lucas County is going to stop facilitating that program, so we will have to make a decision at the end of September, and I will be back. This ties into that request. So the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council offers violence against women grant funding. The maximum we can get, it's not anything near what a street project can get, but it's $60,000, which is not nothing. But one of the requirements of the grant application is the production of a 5-minute video. And while I feel confident in my writing skills to write the grant, video skills are not in my skill set. So I've reached out to Will Lucas at Credio, and he provided a proposal to put together. Full disclosure, they've already been out and taken the footage because the deadline for the grant is tomorrow. They've gotten it, and they did email me a version of it. Once I get it, the final back, I'll be happy to send it out to council. It is my intent to just do this one time. If we're successful, or even if we're not, I'll continue to apply for the grant annually, I can use the same video for that. So it's a one-time expense for several years of applications, hopefully. And I did reach out to the CJCC. I know there's a lot of uncertainty with grant funding nationally. They're confident in their funding, so they don't anticipate an end to this program.
So given the timing of when the county notified us and the fact that, you know, we had to work
quickly.
Yeah, quickly is the right word. Yeah. So I asked Ms. Browning to get moving on this particular piece of it, since they I don't know, caught us off guard with the 5-minute video thing, because grants typically don't have a video attached to them. At least, I don't know, Mr. Shaw, do you ever do videos for grant funding? So it's a little bit of a different thought process. So anyways, the point is that you know, being due tomorrow, we wanted to make sure that we put our best foot forward. So we're happy to answer any questions council may have. Hearing none, we have ordinance number 80-2025 for consideration. Mrs. Westfall.
You know, Mr. Mayor, I would like to just thank Mrs. Browning for her efforts in identifying a grant. I know that it's not something that's usually a responsibility that she would have, so I appreciate your effort there. And with that, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 80-2025, accepting the proposal of Credio to provide video creation and editing services for the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council's Violence Against Women Act funding grant requirement, appropriating funds therefore in an amount not to exceed $10,000. I move adoption of ordinance number 80-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second. Motion and a second to approve ordinance number 80-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Ordinance 80-2025. Is approved as an emergency measure. Moving on to agenda item number 15, we have some then and now certifications. I guess I'll toss this to you, Ms. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If this is our, the third time, I think you've seen the new process for our approving the then and now certificates. As you can see from the list, there were only five last month. And I don't, a couple of those were for just annual contracts for the criminal justice, the Norris leads for the court and the police department, additional concrete repairs and police property room repairs and fire extinguisher maintenance. So we're definitely cutting down on the number that you guys are getting. So I think we're moving in the right direction.
So administrators' thought process is to continue to try to consolidate and minimize these and go through a more traditional procurement cycle. Obviously, there are times when things need to be moving a little more quickly, but in this case, this is something we're trying to be more deliberative about. Are there any questions from members of council?
Mr. Mayor, I appreciate the focus on this and the transparency that you're providing to council. I think it's helpful. Certainly, at the end of the year, we look at these huge numbers and this feels a little bit more clear. Just as a point of clarification, these are things that really come through to us because they surface at a time when there's no time to bring them to council in advance. Is that an accurate statement?
I think for the criminal justice court, that we know that we have that contract every year. And to be honest, I'm getting out over my skis if I say one more sentence, but so we do, that is in the budget, but I just think they invoice us quarterly. So I am frankly not 100% certain why it's right. And I think that going forward, especially into 26, that won't be the process, but, yeah.
I certainly heard the mayor indicating
that
he's trying to streamline
things,
his time.
Things that are consistent expenses, whether they're, court expenses, we create a purchase order with a blanket draw. We need to increase it slightly if it's a little bit higher. Those are standard blocking and tackling purchasing practices, and I want to continue to make progress in regards to minimizing this thing. But if the roof's leaking in the middle of the night, that's something that's why this opportunity and the situation is there. We had some of those. We lost AC in the building, for instance. Because of the power bump, when we had the lightning strike, for instance, things like that, when you got to send somebody out and fix something, just like we would in our own homes. So, any other questions?
Mr. Mayor, just out of curiosity, the police property room repairs, what were those?
Those were the question.
Chief, do you want to take that or
police property room repairs?
The flooring was redone. If you had seen it, it was all pitted and.
An issue with the criminal.
No.
Fair enough.
All right.
What the heck happened?
Any other questions? Hearing none, we have ordinance 81-2025 for consideration. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 81-2025. And I'll read by title only. An ordinance to authorize and ratify the execution of then and now certificates by the finance director in the payment of amounts due for various purchase orders. I move adoption of ordinance number 81-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 81-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Moving on to agenda item number 16, this is one that is more for referral than anything else. As many of you may be aware that there's a bunch of stuff here as you reviewed the packet, including a modification of some of the stuff that's in the municipal code, moving a lot of that information and stuff into an employee handbook. That the city, one of the things when I came in as mayor, we did not have an employee handbook. So this is something that we've been on for some months. Ms. Brining's been taking the lead on that. Members of administrative staff providing input, obviously, as well, as it impacts pretty much everybody at some level or another that's an employee of the city. So we've been working on this diligently, but now we've gotten to the point where it's time for council to take a look at it, nod, and think about, okay, is this the right language, something need to be changed, added, subtracted, whatever. And that's kind of the thought process. So for all those purposes, we weren't expecting any action this evening. This, in our minds, probably should go to the Employee and Community Relations Committee. So, Mr. McCann, is that okay with you? Mrs. Westfall, is that okay with you?
Yes. Yes.
And
I'd like to refer this to the Employee and Community Relations Committee. Can we try to set a date?
So is that a motion?
Yes.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to refer ordinance 82-2025 to the Employee and Community Relations Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. And ordinance 82-2025 is referred to Employee and Community Relations Committee. Now, Mr. McCann, when would you like to have that meeting?
How much time do we believe that this might take?
Yeah, where did this come from? Where did this handbook come from? From scratch.
Well, we took bits and pieces.
Compilation.
Yeah, from other Ohio cities, Harrisburg, Haynesville, gosh, even Toledo, Cincinnati. We looked at quite a few.
But Dublin. This is an original piece.
Correct.
That's why it's taken 6 months to put it together.
Exactly.
One of the things I asked about was, okay, the process, how do we handle this, how do we handle that, and I thought that there were opportunities that we could improve and provide clarity for resources and other issues. But it is something that's going to take a little bit of time, a conversation amongst committee members and other members of council on whether this is the stuff that we need to have in there and so forth. So we want you to spend a little time on this. We'd like to get this started, quite frankly, for 2026. We're not anticipating this is going to be done in 2025. This is going to take maybe an iteration, or maybe two iterations, back from members of council thoughts and then back to you all again. Because this is a big thing, obviously.
Will additional members of the administration be involved?
In what?
HR.
We can bring HR into it. That's the,
Who's worked on drafting it? I would like those people to participate.
Yes. Ms. Bryan did most of the drafting. I actually was involved in some of it. But unfortunately, the person who's the HR manager, who was also involved with drafting, is going on maternity leave here shortly. This is for her. I'm going on maternity leave shortly, so she may be a little difficult away. To get her.
That's okay. We wouldn't beat her up anyway. So.
Just want to.
Yep.
I'm free. I'm going to the Ohio Municipal League seminar Thursday and Friday this week. Otherwise, next week, I'm here. So.
Are we thinking a separate meeting during the week would be more, or before a council meeting? I'm going to open that up to other members on the committee, Doug and Marcus.
I'm open either way. I don't know if there's a time constraint or a goal to have this complete. With our next council meeting not being for another month.
City was incorporated a long time ago. Hasn't
yeah, we're not in a hurry.
Another week or two, nothing in
there. Well, there's no, I mean, I would think a separate meeting would probably be worthwhile. You may be starting it. 5 or 5:30. Leslie, was that okay with you?
I agree, Doug. Yeah.
Okay with that timing?
Yeah.
Making you work overtime. You know?
This is going to take a bit of time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a longer, you know, the traditional meeting that we've had with, you know, with this committee or that committee, they typically aren't quite as long as I would anticipate this one being, because there's a lot here to consider and discuss.
You want to do next Monday at 5? Does that work? Is that enough time for everybody to read it?
That's key. When will we have a draft next Monday?
Okay. How about the 30th? That's Wednesday next week. No. Okay. The following week, I'm in Hilton Head.
Yeah, about that week.
Happy to participate in the Zoom meeting. But I'll be buzzed.
Council, it is meeting.
How about the 11th, Monday?
Pardon?
11th, Monday.
I'll try and fly back, but I'm not sure what time I'm probably not going to be on the ground by then. I'm flying back from California, so. We could do it the 18th. I know we have one other thing we may be considering to.
Again, considering this might be a first draft, that I think we spend an hour on it now, and then we can take steps toward it. 6:30 on the 18th, unless that's what we.
Can we make it, because we've got a potential thing for Adora, hours of operation change, which I don't think is going to take more than about 5 minutes later on in the agenda.
So go 6:30 to 7:15?
Well, I was thinking 6:15 to 7:15, and if it takes a couple extra minutes, it won't hurt any.
That works.
That work?
Going to be a meeting here?
Yes, so, Mr. McCain, we need a motion to.
I propose, move that we schedule a community, employee and community relations for 18th at 6:15.
Second. Oh, here in the council chambers. Second.
A motion and a second to establish an employee and hold an employee and community relations committee meeting on Monday, August 18th, starting at 6:15 PM here in council chambers. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. And that meeting is established. And go this out on our calendar. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just a comment if I could. You know, I didn't realize we never had a handbook. You know, I was very happy to read some of it. Very happy to read some of the things that were in there. But I just want to commend you for putting this, you know, on the table.
Obviously, you know, sometimes there's opportunities to improve things. And I think creating and providing clarity for our employees is one of the intentions of this document. So I appreciate that. Ms. Brennan has run a point on it, so she's been doing a lot of due diligence in trying to put together a nice plan. And I cut it apart a couple of times.
I thought.
And
it's still fun.
No, that's exactly right. And it, you know, may require a few more, so we appreciate and want all of your input. So moving on to agenda item number 17, we have proposed ordinance 83-2025. Mr. Shaw, I guess we'll throw this to you. Would you like to create a brief explanation?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We gave you a 15-minute break.
This was in front of you on June 2nd, if I remember correctly. This is when we introduced our special assessments to members of council. As required by revised code, we're required to do some notifications for those where your estimated assessments are over a certain threshold that's listed in the revised code. Those have been done. We did get a couple of feedback from, a little bit of feedback from a few residents here and there, none of it pertaining to the street lighting assessment that's in front of you. So that one stays exactly as is, as it was in front of you from June 2nd. So to follow our revised code, this is the official approval of the ordinance for that, to levy those special assessments for the next calendar year. Once approved, or if approved, those will go to the Lucas County Auditor's Office for implementation on the tax bill for next year. So be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Mr. Shaw? Hearing none, we have ordinance 83-2025 for consideration. Mr. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only, ordinance number 83-2025. Ordinance approving the assessments heretofore authorized by federal rule number 6-2025 for street lighting.
levying said assessments and declaring an emergency. I move for passage of ordinance number 83-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance 83-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. And ordinance 83-2025 is approved as an emergency measure. Moving on to agenda item number 18, Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is the second of the three special assessments. This one pertaining to construction, maintenance, repair, and cleaning of our open ditches or enclosing of those ditches. That same process was offered to residents for a public comment period. And as a part of that, this particular amount does change slightly up about $10,000-ish. What happened from a couple of the phone calls that occurred is we looked specifically at some condominium-type properties that are in that special assessment group, and we noticed a mistake that was in the tabular version of that where it was not being applied correctly to those condominium units. So the end result of that was a re-review, just make sure we had the condo-specific properties done correctly, and that changed the amount. When it was in front of you on June 2nd, it was about $412,000, and this one is $422,000 there. So the numbers are listed there. But that's a part of the process. That's why you do your revised code that way, to be able to have that review and have some comments for people that actually get those and say, hey, what's going on here? So that's all a part of the revised code process. So we'd recommend approval of the construction, maintenance, repair, and cleaning of open ditches special assessment. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Mr. Shaw? Hearing none, we read ordinance 84-2025 for consideration. Mr. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 84-2025. This is a special tax on the lots and lands described and schedule referred to herein to pay a part of the cost and expense of providing for the construction, maintenance, repair, cleaning, and enclosing open drainage ditches within the corporate limits of the City of Sylvania for the year ending December 31st, 2025. I move for passage of ordinance number 84-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance 84-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried, and ordinance number 84-2025 is approved as an emergency measure. Thank you very much. Moving on to agenda item 19. This is in regards to our trees along our public right-of-way. Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Third and final special assessment that was in front of you back in June. Exact same process that went with this, that same type of questioning that had caused us to re-review this particular section as well. This one deals with front footage, so we had to make a couple of adjustments there. This one actually goes down. In June 2nd, it was $220,123.51. The revised version is $209,095.48. Same exact review process and QRQC that goes with this. So we would recommend approval. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Mr. Shaw? Hearing none, we have ordinance number 85-2025 for consideration. Mr. Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 85-2025 to assess special tax upon the lots and lands described in the schedule referred to herein to pay a part of the cost and expense of providing for the removal and special treatment of shade trees for the purpose of controlling light and disease of same and for planting, maintaining, trimming, and removing shade trees in and along the streets and within public right-of-way of the city for year ending December 31st, 2025. I move for passage of ordinance number 85-2025 as an emergency measure.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 85-2025 as an emergency measure. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried, and then ordinance number 85-2025 is approved as an emergency measure. Moving on to agenda item number 20, we have a referral to the Board of Architectural Review, Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have done some diligent work in the past couple of months. Edge has done a great job of putting together our gateway signage standard. That was in front of you back on May 5th. Included in your council packet are just a couple of exhibits I'll walk you through. Just a reminder of the overall locations that we're considering. for the signage things. That's in the first exhibit that's there. Those are the four locations that are gateway points as you kind of come to our downtown area. And then the next three sheets that are in there are the standards that they developed for further review and consideration. The goal, hopefully, at the Board of Architectural Review meeting in August, will be to come out of there with an overall recommendation. It doesn't have to be one, two, or three. It could be, I like this from one, I like this from three. You know, it could be a bunch of different things that come out of that. But this went through a couple of iterations of changes just internally to kind of get these to a point where I think was the goal of the project. So just wanted to share with you where those currently stand. The board will meet on August 13th to take a closer look at those, and then we hopefully will be back in August. If they need to take more time to see another version of that, we can certainly take that measure and stuff. But hopefully we'll be back August 18th here with their final review and recommendation, and of course for your review and purview, wherever it is you guys come up with for that as well. So.
Questions for Mr. Shaw?
All right, you like one? Okay, all right.
Will Ed be present at that meeting for discussion and questions?
I asked them to be present at the Board of Architectural Review meeting for sure, because they're way more in depth on there's a lot of components that go in here, lighting, you know, what the materials are that give us long durability. So yes, they will be present there. If necessary, I can also, of course, ask them to come to City Council when it's here, back here. So.
And if you did a couple,
they pick something other than one.
Yeah, a couple of points. One, to Mr. Hanum's comment, we do want, so if you have strong opinions, yes, no, whatever, on the front end, I would encourage you to join that particular meeting, number one. Number two, I don't know whether council's aware of this, but maybe. Those meetings are now held via Zoom. So it's not something where you've got to get in the car and drive over. You can participate remotely. That's permissible. That particular committee is permissible to be meeting under the revised code, so, and doing it that way. So happy to have input from members of council on the front end. Obviously, you're going to get another bite at this after the Architectural Review Committee has given their recommendations, but they are recommendations. Council speaks at the end. So you need to look at this and say, I like that, don't like this. Mr. Murphy?
Yep, first of all, I like number two. Second.
Secondly,
we'll arm wrestle. Did they just I know you'll go into all these details at that review thing, but did they mention which better life?
They did not talk about that, but I will say with each of the concepts, the kind of ask was number one, traditional brick, give us something that looks, you know, maybe like you would see around. Two, was to be something modern, something different, maybe a little off the beaten path than you would normally see in Sylvania. And then three was to kind of bring some of those modern and kind of traditional things back together. So I think they did a good job of capturing the request to do something traditional, modern, and then a blend of the two. So I think it's interesting that Mr. Hanum likes one and you like two. Perfect. That was the goal of the exercise, was to try to get
to be read into that.
I went to Miami University, so that's where. Yeah.
So quick question. When is it? I don't know if it's the second or the third Wednesday of the month.
August 13th is the next Board of Architectural Review meeting.
So you're all welcome. Yeah, you're more than welcome to submit written, you know, emails, and like this one, not that one. Here's why is helpful, rather than just pointing at one and say I like this one. Give, you know, a little bit of feedback would be helpful for the board for consideration purposes.
And that's at 5 o'clock or 5:30.
I'm sure we can get you a link.
I will have the zoning administrator give all members of council the link for that for sure.
Yes, we received the information from Betty on a monthly basis of the schedule, and it'll be attached to that.
Yeah, Mr. Shaw, can make sure that you also send it just to, let's double check, because this is an important thing. This is how our community's front door looks. What, you know, what's our
what's our look going to be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road? So it's an important question.
So that's the 13th, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Can that be highlighted in your article for the advantage?
Sure, sure. I think my next one is a couple weeks.
Next week.
Yeah.
Because I was writing it, mine today.
Mine's already written for next
week. But mine, I guarantee you will not, you'll see it before it goes, because you'll have to. But it won't have anything to do with these signs, so that's, you got that. So, what we need here at this point is a referral to the Board of Architects Review for their comments and recommendation. Mr. McCann, would you make that recommendation for the August 13th meeting?
Yes, I'd like to move that we have a meeting on August 13th for the Board of Architectural Review for signage standard concept pack.
Second. Motion and a second to refer the Gateway signage standard to the Board of Architectural Review for the review and comment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Let's see, moving on to agenda item number 21. This is Centennial Little Road intersection. Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This particular stretch of Centennial Road has been interesting to our safety forces, as well as Chief Miller. She's had a couple of very successful measures she's taken to try to help with Centennial Terrace activities. We're pursuing a speed study on this particular road. We've had some residents from Mayberry as well as Palisades come and talk about safety measures that can be taken on this road. So we are requesting to start our letter of interest process on that particular project at Centennial and Little Road. We're proposing a roundabout as the recommended alternative there to do. So we'd like to start that process of getting an engineer on board to look at that for us. So this project was not included in our budget for 2025. The goal would be to start the letter of interest process, go through scope and fee negotiations with our selected consultant, and then come back to council and present that with either a course of hold on, let's do that in a 2026 budget item, or let's move forward and get started on this because there's been interest, and that certainly can be council's choice to do. So we at least want to do our portion of it, get it set up so that it's ready to go, and then we can report back with what that fee is, and then council can take whatever action they feel necessary. Be happy to answer your questions.
I think what Mr. Shaw's comment, we discussed it at a staff meeting, and I thought it would be better to look at this, be prepared, let council make a consideration, you know, depending on what that number looks like, and some things to look at once we get through that process, whether you want to do that or consider that as much. So I'd rather give you the option to continue to move that ball forward a bit earlier, but that's certainly not required. Any questions, further questions for Mr. Shaw? Hearing none?
Just because I didn't maybe quite catch it. If all this went through, we got the. When would you think this project would start? Would like your
construction?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we work through, even if we don't get started in 25, it would be a 2026 budget item for me. We get started on the engineering and that portion of it. I would want to start possibly looking at acquiring the right of way needed to do that in 27. Probably take a good 8 months to fully acquire everything that we need to do, and then roll it either into 28 or 29. We're already pretty loaded in 28. We just kind of talked about some roundabouts at some other locations. So my initial thought would be a 29 project to do that, but that's kind of the path that we're tracking.
Other questions for Mr. Shaw? Hearing none, we have a request for LOI solicitation. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we authorize administration to begin letter of interest solicitation for the Centennial Road and Little Road intersection.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to authorize administration to begin the solicitation for letters of interest for engineering consultants for the Centennial Little Road intersection. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried, thank you very much. Moving on to page three of our agenda. Now, this is item number 22, we have downtown transportation improvements. Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A very important piece here. We've been working diligently with our utility companies. It's been a process.
There's been a lot of work put in, Mr. Shaw. Applaud you for that.
So we are here, we've got our construction plans ready to go for the middle piece between phases one and two, and that's to take the aerial utilities below grade and bury them. So we've got four entities at play. Just as a reminder, we've been working with Toledo Edison, Spectrum, Frontier Communications, and Buckeye Cable. It's been diligently working. So we are here. The cost to do the infrastructure buried is $996,152.33. That's our estimated cost. Just to put everybody's...
Approximately.
That puts the infrastructure underground, and then the utility companies can move into it. As each one of those utility companies moves into it, there's a cost that goes with that too. We had budgeted about $1.5 million in the 25 budget for this. This is about $1 million of it, so that leaves about $500,000 left for us to work through these agreements. I don't have those just yet. We're still diligently working with Toledo Edison, Buckeye, and the four entities to try to get those costs established. But the good part is, over a lot of work, I think we have a very good plan in place to do this. I'm pleased with the way it's going to finish up. Or we had to relook at a lot of different ways. We're actually bringing some underground power up Summit Street and putting some stuff on aerial poles there, which helps us reduce some of the costs. So that's been some really good steps in the right direction. But these are very, very difficult projects. But we're here. We would like to advertise for construction for this piece of it. Our goal would be to start late summer. So just as we're kind of finishing up in the first block, maybe September-ish, we'd like to get started. And this is good winter work. We can go November, December, January, however it works to get conduit in the ground. Everything's below grade. And then do those temporary restorations in lead up to phase two that would start summer-ish of 26. So I would request permission to advertise for bids and be happy to answer any questions.
You'll recall probably 2 years or so ago, this was one of the questions that we had to ponder as council and the administration is, do we want to vary the lines for the downtown project? Just to do that, recognizing it was going to be an expensive undertaking, but it's also going to address and make the downtown look phenomenal along that second block. It's going to clean things up and be, at least in my judgment, much better looking. So that's, obviously it's not cheap. We appreciate Mr. Shaw and his team working diligently with the utilities in regards to this. And with that, I guess we'll go to Mr. McCann, since this is employee community relations, and you're one of the people that's been dealing with some of these questions. If you would make this motion, that would be great.
I'd like to move to authorize the city to be able to advertise for bid for downtown transportation improvement, aerial utility, area construction project.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to authorize the administration to advertise for bids for the downtown transportation improvements for the aerial utility very construction project. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Moving on to agenda item number 23, we have SUP number 3, 2025. Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is our second. We've had two sanitary sewer agreements, and this is our second solar array that's been asked of us this year to take a look at and review. The Planning Commission had met in July for the Lord's one. That was moved through, so we'll have a public hearing on that coming up, but that one was moved. This is a private property. This is at 5916 Main Street. That would be north of Erie, kind of across from Veterans Memorial Field and the tracks. The property owner, Mr. Benjamin and Amanda Milliron, have requested to do ground-mounted solar system in their rear yard. If I remember correctly, they have a tennis court, an old tennis court in the backyard They want to repurpose that location with solar arrays and put it there. So for our zoning code, that requires a special use permit because it's ground mounted. If it's in our code and it's attached to a roof fixture already, that's okay. You can do that. But if you're going to mount it to the ground, that requires a special use permit. So this would be the start of the process to refer this to the planning commission for their review and recommendation.
Mind me, what the notification
to neighbors happens when we do the public hearing, right? Do we have any sense of neighbors' thoughts about this?
None in the service or zoning department.
I haven't gone back there and looked at it.
I suspect over the next few years, we'll get more of these. So one thing that council may want to consider is whether or not this process, which can, you know, which is important, but also is a substantial amount of effort. Is this the right process for this particular thing, or would council be interested in making modifications in the municipal code for that purpose? Not advocating for that, but just something to consider. Not doesn't affect this conversation with SUP 3-2025 or whatsoever.
I guess what I would, I mean, as part of this process, I would like to hear from the Mill Irons why they would consider the roof line, which we specifically addressed and anticipated.
I guess
it's a lot more. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're potentially more. It's just a lot more. I mean, I'd like, is it not feasible? Is it too small? Is it too costly? I mean,
it could be facing the wrong direction.
Well, those are things I would like to know the answer to.
Yeah. So the other consideration I was thinking of is what happens if they sell their home and people don't want it anymore, like a cell tower. Do they bear the cost of removing them at their end of useful life?
That's a great point. That is a great point.
So I think this may bear some separate conversation regarding future.
Would those, Mr. Mayor, be comments that would come back from the Planning Commission that there needs to be clarity in our before they're in a position to.
I think that makes sense. To me, this is kind of like old long-term liability. Some people will love it when they look at it, and some people are going to hate it. And it's a coin flip, whichever way it goes, depending on who's looking at that. It's your home, but I understand your concern. And that's why I wanted you to think about, okay, is this something that we want to continue to utilize this process? If we get 5, 6, 8, 10 of these, you know, it's a material amount of effort, and maybe this is appropriate and should be a material amount of effort.
Does this fall under
utilities
or zoning?
Well, a special use permit is a zoning.
Yeah, I think this should be zoning.
Let's go forward with this and see what we get into.
I mean,
there are, one of the things I like about special use permits is that we can do whatever we want. We have a lot of discretion to deal with them. We don't have to deal with them all the same because they're special uses. They're all different by design. And we have, you know, as a council, we have a lot of autonomy to make the decisions that are good for our community and for our neighbors on a case-by-case basis. I kind of like that. Of course.
Do you know if there for something that's ground-mounted, is there a common complaint that people have, like it reflects at somebody else's house? I don't know how the process works.
Or just general appearance, like looking at them, you know what I mean, not landscaping or, you know, shrubs. You're looking at that, you know, that would probably be the biggest thing you would hear.
Is it lower your property value because...
Could, yeah, who wants to look at that?
Yeah.
What do they have to do to put a tennis court in there?
I think it's really old. My guess is the tennis court's been there for decades, and they don't use it, and so they thought, well, why don't we put solar panels on
that? If I wanted to put a tennis court in my backyard, what would I have to do today?
Oh, I have a bigger backyard.
But you need a, would you need a construction permit?
It would be like a driveway, but it's outside the right of way, so I don't think you probably could if you wanted to.
Little Road, I think, has a couple of tennis courts that are bigger properties. I think you can do it. I would suggest those are really good comments. If it's okay, I'd like to pose those questions to them and then get those responses in time for the Planning Commission so that that group has those as well. So.
And I don't know if there's any safety concerns. I mean, for those panels, for kids running around the backyard, I mean, I just don't know. Do they need to have it fenced or anything?
If you have a swimming pool, you have a fence.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you thought about that. You made that decision.
Yeah, most larger solar arrays typically don't. I mean, they have like a chain link fence that you can visibly see through it. But if you're going to put fencing here to shield it, it probably wouldn't be a chain link. It would probably be more like what you would see with a pool. Something that would provide additional coverage so people wouldn't see it.
In the neighborhood. Unless there are, you know, other restrictions.
But again, you make a great point. It's a special use permit. We can do whatever needs to be done in this particular situation without getting too close to that, the broader picture. You know, like, it should be, would we allow a front yard and a backyard? I mean, this is one incident we can kind of, but the questions, I think if we can get them answered, would be great.
If we're in the front yard, I think it would be easy to say no.
No, yeah.
Mr. Hanna, are you prepared to...
Mr. Mayor, I move we refer SUP number 3-2025 to the Planning Commission for their review.
Second.
A motion and a second to refer SUP number 3-2025 to the Planning Commission for consideration and recommendation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Thank you very much. And SUP 3-2025 is referred to the Planning Commission for consideration. Moving on to agenda item number 24. We have an application for a modification of the Doro refreshment area. Ms. Bryant.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, the mayor received a request from the Redford Art District to amend the hours of the Dora, the starting time from noon to 10 a.m. There's a couple of specific instances that they cited as the reason for that. So the first step in the process is when we amended and boundaries and made a couple other modifications to our Dora since it was first created. But the first step is just to submit the application to City Council and set the public hearing date. So that's actually, we to meet the publication timeline, there's no notice requirements, just a publication requirement. So we'd like to set the public hearing date for August 18th. Nothing else is changing. We did ask the Redbirds if they wanted to make additional changes. They said perhaps they would like to extend it to south of Monroe Street, but they have changed the statute since we first created this, and we can now have three separate areas. So if we did want to establish one at some point, if it made sense, it wouldn't have to be connected to this one. So just wanted to point that out as well.
Yeah, you'll recall that when we first created the Dora, one of the conversations was how far do we go and so forth, and there was geographical limits, and so one of the things we were concerned about is moving to the other side of the restaurant because now people are walking with an open container with alcohol, walking across an incredibly busy street, and we were... There was some concern on council at the time, but at the same time, recognizing that we've gotten a lot of history attached to since we created the Dora and how things have been handled. So from my perspective, I don't have a problem with bumping it from a noon start time to 10 a.m. I'm not sure how many people are going to be walking around and utilizing the door at 10 anyways.
I haven't had the opportunity to tell them.
For holidays or something like that, in those circumstances.
Football Saturday.
Pardon?
Football Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one question though. Just out of curiosity, can you refresh my memory? When I looked through this, it seemed like it indicated some things about possible additional police coverage needed. Do we have additional police coverage due to DORA occurring downtown? I didn't think we did. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I think there were some initial concerns, but.
About that, but I haven't had an issue.
They're going to have it.
But we haven't experienced them to this point.
Right, yes. Well said. So we have, to set a public hearing, Ms. Brining is suggesting, August 18th, and we had the prior meeting, the employee community relations, so we just have a public hearing, maybe 7:15, if that's, in some, of the will of council.
So what's the procedure requirement here?
There is no notification requirement, so the people in the DORA currently will not receive anything from us. That's not required. It's just a publication requirement.
Public hearing.
Public hearing and a publication.
So, it's okay.
Yeah.
While we're not required, I would still prefer that we notify.
Okay.
Yeah, I would too.
Let's notify our neighbors, make sure that they're aware of it. I don't think they'll care one way or the other, but I would rather err on the side of notification and let them know, even though we're not required.
People who cared before might care again. We might see that same group come back.
Could be.
Okay, we're going to do this on the 18th, right?
Sure.
Let's notify the public hearing for 7 o'clock.
7:15.
Early, with the previous.
We have something before that, though.
Yeah, 6:15.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to do it before?
No, we're going to do 7:15 versus 7, because we're going 6:15 to 7:15.
I understand that. Let's notify for 7 o'clock, in case we finish up. We can start the meeting.
Because the employee community relations could finish early.
Sure. Okay.
So 7 o'clock, yep.
So do I have a motion?
So moved.
Set a public hearing at 7 p.m. on the 18th of August here in council chambers?
Second.
Motion and a second to set the public hearing for modification of the designated outdoor refreshment area on August 18th, 2025 at 7 p.m. here in council chambers. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Are there any committee reports to come before council this evening? Any committee referrals other than the ones we've already discussed? Hearing none, we've come to the end of the agenda. I would mention there's some notifications. The one that I wanted to particularly point out, there's a Columbia Gas of Ohio notice here talking about a natural gas line replacement project. So that includes a map on the second page of this, just to be aware that our neighbors are going to be affected. Mr. Shaw, Columbia is required to provide us notice, or they are required to provide the neighbors that would be impacted notice as well, I assume?
That's correct. We wanted to get this in your hands first, because last time they did a massive replacement project in our downtown footprint. We did get complaints, mostly on the restoration side. It's a very difficult process when they do projects. They have entire different groups that do the construction and come back and do restoration. And those two groups don't always talk, and there's always a gap in between when the restoration occurs. So I wanted to make sure this was in your hands before it gets to our residents. This mailer does go out to everybody who is in the footprint. They take care of that. But just wanted you guys to have it in your hands in case you start getting some calls.
Mr. Shaw, does that mean it does look through this information like they put the responsibility for scheduling any meetings or anything on the neighbors, and based on what they say and their more information? If they're actually going through someone's yard, do they have a different kind of conversation? They just would wake up one morning and somebody could be digging in their yard?
Yeah, that actually, when we did the downtown project, we requested this mailer. and they did it, and we still got quite a few questions on it. I mean, some people don't read the mail, we understand that. But anytime they do something large scale, we want to make sure at least the opportunity was given. Here's what's going on. We want to ask questions. But we made it through. It just wasn't a very good process last time. Hopefully this one goes a little better. But it is invasive. They can show up to your yard, and you're like, why are you digging here? So it's...
And they send this out, so we don't have a way to communicate. I mean, we...
This goes from Columbia Gas. This is just courtesy to you guys.
Thank you.
The only other two things I had before take a motion to adjourn are, first, I want to thank the chief, the entire police department, for the city and township and the fire departments. I don't know how many of you were at the fireworks display on July 3rd, but traffic moved well, and they had an emergency situation as well. It was also well handled, so I wanted to send thanks to the chief and her team and the fire department and the township police department as well for that. And also for Pizza Palooza, which seemed like I was there on Friday evening, and it seemed to go pretty well. A lot of people Saturday, but it wasn't very good. So thank you for the
Good crowd.
Any other comments before we consider adjourn? Hearing none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adjourn this council meeting. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried, and we're adjourned, and we'll meet next here in these council chambers at 7:30 p.m. on August the 18th. Thank